You are Locked On Wolverines, your daily podcast on the Michigan Wolverines, part of the Locked On Podcast Network.
It's Thursday, it's before noon. That's the new reality when it comes to the Locked On Wolverines podcast. I say that, but then tomorrow's will end up being at like midnight. Locked On Wolverines podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, where it's your team every day. I am your man on the ground, Isaiah Hull, publisher of Wolverines Wire through USA Today Sports Media Group. It's Thursday, therefore it's the mailbag, and we got more questions than we ever have. So we're going to do it a little bit differently. I'm not necessarily getting to quite everybody, because I'll even normally read the joke ones and things of that nature. That's not happening today. Only serious questions, a lot of the same questions. But we're going to get through the people who ask questions regularly, and then we're going to try to do rapid fire of all of the other questions, because we got about double of what we normally get. So let's get to it, starting with our leaders and best. James Crudup at James Crudup 6. Is the loss of Nico as big or bigger than the loss of Ambry? Which receivers do you see needing to step up the most? No, I don't think the loss of Nico is as big or bigger. I think it's not as big. Because Ambry, listen, that's much more of a depleted group, the cornerbacks. Now you have essentially no experience, where the wide receiver group, you still have Ronnie Bell. You still have the three freshmen from last year that are sophomores now, Cornelius Johnson, Giles Jackson, Mike Sainra still. You still have Nate Shanley, who was injured last year. And you still have the two true freshmen coming in that are here, which are Roman Wilson and A.J. Henning. So I think that you really need those four that I mentioned first to be the guys. But I think you've got a pretty good position group. Whereas when you look at the cornerback situation, you have a lot of inexperience. You're hoping that DJ Turner, Jalen Perry are ready opposite Vincent Gray. Maybe there's some platooning. Andre Seldon, Darian Green Warren, the Greens. I mean, you've got a lot of guys that you're kind of counting on. Hunter Reynolds, I think, was switched to safety last year. So I don't know if he'd be in the cornerback, potentially in the cornerback situation. But we don't know what the corners are going to be, how good they're going to be, because there's no one with starting experience and very, very little returning experience. Vincent Gray is the only one that really had any kind of meaningful time. So the loss of Ambry is giant. That could make or break the defense in a big way. So you got to hope that that defensive line really takes a big step forward to kind of make it that much easier. I mean, the two go hand in hand, because a good secondary can help a defensive line, and a good defensive line getting early pressure can help a secondary. So you hope that that steps up on that light. So, it's a conundrum. It's something of a quandary in that sense. And I do want to note, just because this came across my Twitter, this is completely unrelated, but we're going to get to it. I don't have access to 24/7 Sports VIP, but Sam Webb just posted a hold up. Wait a minute on Jalen Mayfield. The door to a return may not be completely closed. So, FYI, that's what Sam Webb just put out there. Josh Barra, Jadicky, any chance you have heard anything about any of the players that opted out for the draft because the season was canceled coming back to play now that it's on? Well, there you go. Maybe Mayfield, although his dad said that door was closed. Now Sam Webb saying no. It might not be. Just based off of the teaser on Twitter, again, I can't see inside, so I can't tell you what any of that is. But we will see on that. I reached out, and I can say this now because he's reached out, he's signed with an agent, but I reached out to Ambry. I haven't heard anything back. I do know that he was interested in a potential return. But at the same time, that was a month ago. He had already signed with an agent at that point. They can, and this question gets asked a few times later down the road, but I'm going to go ahead and answer it now. Players can potentially return that opted out, even if they have signed with an agent, because they can reapply And I would assume, especially based off of like what Tom Mars, the lawyer, said, even if they accepted benefits, it's going to be hard for the NCAA to keep them out, given the strong wording by Kevin Warren that a vote would not be revisited. So it's a little difficult to say, hey, you made your bed, go lay in it, after the conference said, we're not playing, kick the can a month down the road, we're still not playing, we're definitely not going to play. I mean, you know, what do you expect from these guys who weren't, you know, were counting on this being their final season? Of course they're going to look at the situation and say it's untenable. Now, the other thing is, though, that classes have started, they'd have to get into and catch up in classes. So that's another important component of all of this. My brother in metal, Michael Wolf, at MWolf21. I want to note that I've been listening to a bunch of different metalcore all morning while I walked Zuri. But Spirit Box is my new favorite. They're incredible. It was reported Milton was QB1, and that showed a significant change in Harbaugh. What is that change? Well, the change is that when was the last time that there was a new quarterback situation that hadn't any starting experience who earned a job this early? There's a reason why I hadn't reached out to anyone to get any intel on what was going on in the quarterback's room. And that'll answer some other questions coming down the line. The reason why is because it hasn't happened. I remember talking to my roommates about it and saying, anyone who's paid any attention to Jim Harbaugh, this competition might not even be settled in the early weeks, right? So I'm kind of surprised that it got settled this early, even though I've been singing Joe Milton's praises probably longer than anyone in the media, at least. So, it is a big change to have a battle that hadn't really ever gotten off the ground, really, you know, because they didn't have fall camp. I mean, they started it, but they'd never gotten to pads. And he's clearly won the job at this juncture without them ever having played in pads. So that's pretty significant. Willing to lose Dylan McCaffrey by having a guy who's QB1 this early. And I had confirmed since that is the case. He is QB1. So it's going to be interesting to see what he's able to do. I've said before that the belief when Pep Hamilton was around was that Milton has number one overall draft pick potential. So, and I'll just go ahead and tell you now, I talked to Pep Hamilton over the winter before the pandemic, and he was still really high on Joe Milton. Still was like, once Milton becomes QB1, that's when Michigan can take off. So know that. And this is, you know, after a year of Josh Gattis, that was Pep Hamilton's thoughts on the matter. Pep Hamilton, who's now, by the way, if you didn't know, Pep Hamilton is currently the quarterback's coach at the San Diego Chargers. And Jed Fish is now the quarterback's coach at New England Patriots, which I think is kind of interesting. Tim Drevno is still at USC. Trent Noop at Trent Noop. Do you like the 8+1 schedule this year? The new championship week is very cool, in my opinion. I do like it. I like it a lot. And it was Jim Harbaugh's suggestion over the summer and coaches meetings, and that came to fruition. I think it'd be cool if they did something like this every year, you know, regardless of the bowl games and everything like that, just to kind of determine a pecking order in the Big Ten. I doubt that'll happen, but I think it's such a cool, innovative idea, and Harbaugh's got no shortage of those. And I'm really curious to see how it plays out. How it will really know the strength of the East and West, which side is better. I think we all think the East is better, but you know what happens when you play those games? And I think it will be competitive because they are in conference games. And, you know, if you are able to convince the league to continue this as a tradition, give everyone a 13th data point, I mean, it's going to make things more interesting for, you know, for the bowl games and everything too. But then again, you're asking players to play an extra game. So I don't know that that would necessarily be a thing. But, I mean, it would make things really interesting, because what if you know, there's two teams, say it's Michigan, Wisconsin, or Penn State, Minnesota, and whoever wins gets to go to a New Year's Six game, and whoever loses is going to go to another one. I think that would be an incredibly interesting dynamic, and I'm curious to see if any other leagues would follow suit with something like that. I again, assume it will be just this year, but it's something that I think would be interesting to have in the years down the road. Finishing us out in segment one, Jimmy Whitner at Jimmy Whitner 1. Since the dead period has been extended, do you think that our remaining targets, Rashawn Benny, Donovan Edwards, may speed up their timelines? They are both hoping to take visits. Then he's got more questions, but I'll answer that. I don't know about Rashawn Benny. I'll be seeing him tomorrow. So hopefully I'll get a chance to talk to him after the game. No, I only talk to players from the winning team, so I don't know if Oak Park or West Bloomfield will win. So I'll talk to either Benny or Edwards. Edwards might still take visits, they won't be official visits. That was what I reported already. That's what he had told me, is his plan is still to maybe get out to Georgia and Oklahoma. So for those who are celebrating, saying, yay, no Georgia or Oklahoma visits, that's not necessarily true. They you can still visit. It's just you're not going to be able to go. You're not going to be able to go to the facilities and have that typical recruiting visit. You would essentially be having a visit you plan yourself to be able to see what you can on your own. And the coaching staff might issue, you know, give you some guidance, but it's not quite the same. But I wouldn't count out that Edwards particularly is still going to take things to the wire. Whitner continues, okay, we know we are playing a 9-game schedule with our current roster. What record would you consider a success? 7-1. I guess 6-2. You know, you can lose one of the Penn State or Wisconsin, not both. But obviously Ohio State is looming, but I wouldn't necessarily say that's success. I would say it's acceptable. 7-1 would be a success. Last question from Whitner, number two. Under the radar player you expect to see time this year. See, we haven't had fall camp or spring ball, so it's hard for me to really figure out who's getting the hype. And like I've said, I kind of haven't talked to anybody about anything other than recruiting. So I don't really know as far as that's concerned. If I were to take some guesses, educated guesses, I would say a guy like Anthony Solomon could really be a big deal. Offensively, we know everybody, right? There's really no under-the-radar guys offensively at this juncture. I mean, Andrew Vistardis would be the closest probably one, because everyone thinks it's Zach Carpenter. I know he's I think he's been battling something, but nonetheless, I think that it's defensive side of the ball is really the only place you can look. I would go with a guy like with Anthony Solomon as being one that could step up. Or Sammy Faustin at safety. I think Sammy Faustin could really step in. And if you've been paying attention to Don Brown's Twitter, Julius Welshoff has been like a dude of the day, or not a dude, but a guy, several times in the last couple weeks. So I wouldn't be surprised if Julius Welshoff gets involved. All right. I know you guys know how much I love Rock Auto. I've been a big fan for years. It saved me literally thousands of dollars when I had a Hoopty, my Cadillac CTS that I used to have that liked to break down every other second. And Rock Auto definitely saved me so much money. Listen, rockauto.com is a family business serving auto parts customers online for 20 years. Go to rockauto.com to shop for auto and body parts from hundreds of manufacturers. They have everything from engine control modules and brake parts to tail lamps, motor oil, and even new carpet. Whether it's for your classic or daily driver, get everything you need in a few easy clicks delivered directly to your door. The rockauto.com catalog is unique and remarkably easy to navigate. Quickly see all the parts available for your vehicle and choose the brand, specifications, and prices you prefer. Best of all, prices at rockauto.com are always reliably low, and the same for professionals and do-it-yourselfers. Why spend up to twice as much for the same parts? Go to rockauto.com right now and see all the parts available for your car or truck. Write Locked On in their How Did You Hear About Us box so that they know that we sent you. Amazing selection, reliably low prices, all the parts your car will ever need. rockauto.com. All right, we got four more in segment two here from regular question askers, and then we get to, well, we got a lot of questions from people that don't normally ask questions. I'm looking at like 15. So we're gonna give a little bit more time to those who ask questions every week, and then we're gonna get to the rest of them in kind of a more of a rapid fire. So that's how we're gonna handle that. Starting with Brian Hall at 15, BS Hall 97. It's super cliche, the super cliche fan thing to say that fans care more than the players. But where do you think Michigan's level is at or feeling? I think you mean that the other way around, that players care more than the fans. But feeling to play OSU when the rival coach publicly threatened to hang 100 on them, or the jokes that Michigan would vote no so they won't play OSU. Kind of a convoluted question, but I mean, I think that as far as the players, I mean, they're fired up. They want to make them pay for that. I've spoken to a few people close to the program who believe that they're ready to make them feel some pain about it. Now, will that happen? I don't know. I mean, we haven't seen, you know, we've seen blowouts go the other way. We haven't seen Michigan blow out Ohio State in quite some time. But I think it's an awfully courageous thing. I know it was behind closed doors. It wasn't in the media. It got to the media, but it wasn't to the media. It's an awfully courageous thing to say something like that, because that's the type of thing that can blow up in your face, especially for a Michigan team that really doesn't need any more motivation when it comes to Ohio State. But it's definitely become bulletin board material, something that I think I saw there was a picture on the TV inside the weight room of Ryan Day saying, you know, having said that, they're letting it be a reminder that that's something that happened. And obviously the fans don't care more. I mean, the fans get a different kind of upset, but it's kind of it's crazy to me that a lot of fans do think that they care more than the guys waking up at 5 a.m. to go have a lift, right? Like, they put in so much more time. It does mean more to them, but that doesn't mean that it's going to work out on the football field. It just isn't what it is. Spencer Whitmore at Spencer Whitmore screaming at a 70-inch TV, "Here I come." With us losing out two top wide receivers, tight end, entire offensive line, and starting quarterback, honest thoughts on this offense under Gattis? Honestly, I think it can take a big step forward because, number one, I want to reiterate that Shea Patterson's injury that he sustained in the first play of the game last year was much worse than what people realize. Number two, working in a new offense, even if that offense was tailor-built for Shea Patterson, given his injury, it was going to take a little while for it to sink in, even though that wasn't my thoughts last year going into the season. I think that you have a lot more pieces that are more compatible with Gattis' offense. I think Eubanks being the lead tight end is more compatible with Gattis' offense. I think the types of receivers they have, even without Nico, I don't think is the prototypical Gattis wide receiver. I think that Giles Jackson is. I think A.J. Henning is. I think those are the types of guys that fit his offense more. I think Joe Milton is better suited for a Josh Gattis offense as well compared to Pep Hamilton's offense. The offensive line, we'll see. I have faith in Ed Warriner. He's got a very strong track record that spans decades. So I don't think that that's as big of a problem as people want to think. My concerns, as they did last year, lie on the defensive side. I think the offense is honestly going to be fine Will they be fine out the gates? I don't know. Might take a couple games. You don't have a non-conference to warm up for or warm up with, so I think that makes things more interesting. Granted, they weren't going to be able to warm up anyway because they were going to start at Washington originally. But I think that everything you need for the offense is right there. It's just a lot of inexperience, and it's a lot of guys that gotta come along. Brad G at GRN, Scheimer, possible more Big Ten games in the snow. Thoughts? I mean, it's possible, but it seems like last year it snowed in early November. We got a lot of snow in early November. We've had snow games in November. December sometimes is a wild card. So, I mean, maybe it's certainly possible, especially with the season going to December 19th. But I don't think it's necessarily going to be much different. I think you definitely have another. I think you have, you have that possibility, because once you get into November, the weather is unpredictable. Still fall until December something, right? But late December, like the entirety of this season will still take place in the fall. But the latter half of fall can be very wintry. And usually November and, November and December are very unpredictable. So I don't know. And I'm not a meteorologist, so I'm not really equipped to answer that. RTK at Farmerk 84. 8 games in 8 weeks, 0 wiggle room if teams experience clusters of positive COVID tests and need to quarantine players for 21 days or even shut down. Will the Big Ten schedule games with conference contenders early on to ensure resumes are good enough to compete for college football playoff? I think that to some degree, I wouldn't be surprised if Michigan and Ohio State's the final week of the season again. But I think you'll see some of the more important games early. Ones that were going to be relatively early anyway, at Minnesota, against Penn State, Wisconsin. I think some of those games will be earlier. I guess the plan, from what I read, this was in a Zach Shaw article, and I didn't get a chance to sit and kind of watch because doing things for Wolverines Wire, right now I'm the only person. Brandon Knapp is coming back, for those of you who like to read his stuff. I'm the only person right now for Wolverines Wire, so I was cranking too hard yesterday, so I didn't get to really get to everything that was going on. But supposedly the northern teams are gonna try to have their home stuff early, and the southern teams are gonna try to have their home stuff late because of the weather. So Zach put together a projected schedule, and what it saw was opening at Minnesota, the 4 home games, and then the rest of the games away. I think that's possible. I won't even say likely, because what we expected from the Big Ten only schedule they released on August 5th was different than kind of what they had indicated. All right, we're going to get to our rapid fire. We got a ton. Thankfully, a lot of them are the same, but we are going to get to those here in just a moment. All right, we got rapid fire, which means I'm not going to take like 3 minutes to answer every question. But a lot of these are the same. I tried to cluster them together. I might have missed one or two, so they might not be in the perfect order. But we'll, dealing with a lot more questions than I normally get. So we'll see if I handled it right. Jacob Farnsworth at Jacob Farnsworth. What are the odds that they allow fans into the stadium? And if they do, will it be students or family or friends of players? Or will it be just general admission lottery style? They are not allowing fans in at Michigan Stadium. So that's known. There aren't going to be fans there. I'm assuming that they're going to allow select family. But no, because the state of Michigan still doesn't allow crowds over 100. So that's what the deal is. Bob Beck at RC Beck 77. Season expectations as fans. UM's top players are opting for the NFL, so enjoy the highs that come with the lows and know that this is a year for gearing up for next year, or expect dudes to step up and beating OSU is still the goal. The way I look at it is I've seen plenty of people say that this should be just a setup year. The people that say that clearly do not know Jim Harbaugh. There is no way Jim Harbaugh is looking at this as a setup year at all. And if you think that the pressure is going to be off about beating OSU just because this is a different year, you got to be kidding me. No, it's not. So everything is still, the goals are still the same. The college football playoff is still on the table. I would not look at this as being a setup year even with the opt-outs. It's, you're Michigan. You have to be next man up. That's how they're going to treat it, and that's how they should treat it. I'm amazed at how many people have said, well, you know, maybe, you know, 4-4, 5-3 is fine because you're kind of trying to prepare for the next years. No, that's not what this program is. It's an absurd idea. JKP at meet_dot_illist1. And these next three are kind of, or this one's, I believe, kind of the same. No, it's not. Sorry. With Nico opting out, is that a sign of trouble with our QB play? No, I do not believe so. And when I say I do not believe so, I mean, no, it is not. It is a sign of a guy who decided to come back for his senior year when he very well could have been drafted last year, who was tired of waiting for the Big Ten to figure out what it was going to do. If the Big Ten was kicking off in a week, Nico would be playing. I fully believe that. But because of everything going on, he's not. Now, could he potentially come back? I don't know. I reached out to Nico. I haven't heard from him. I'll say this. The group of guys, because like I wish I would have started this podcast a couple years earlier, because like the 2016 class, I felt like I could get those guys on the horn pretty close to immediately. So I have a harder time after the fact, but like I still talk to some of those 2016 guys, like Jordan Lewis and some of those. Jordan and I have been trying to figure out how to get him on the show. We just haven't been able to kind of make things work. Nonetheless, like, so I just haven't heard from Nico about it. I don't know if that means he's weighing a decision still. Could be the same with Ambry, but we wait and see. We wait and see what's going to happen with those guys. Obviously, you saw the Ohio State. Wyatt Davis is back. Sean Wade is strongly mulling coming back. Apparently, Jalen Mayfield might come back. I mean, I wouldn't be surprised if you saw Ambry come back, because, again, I believe that he wanted to play, but it just might be that they've kicked the can too far down the road for that to happen. Jackson 2 at TrueJJ32. With all the opt-outs, how do you see Michigan stacking up against the rest of the Big Ten? I mean, perfectly fine. Penn State probably lost the best player in the Big Ten, not named Justin Fields. I mean, everyone's lost players and important ones. Rondale Moore gone from Purdue. Rashad Bateman gone from Minnesota. I mean, Wisconsin hasn't had any opt-outs that I have seen particularly, but at the same time, I mean, they lost Jonathan Taylor from last year. They lost a couple other guys, Zach Bond and Tyler Badass, as I like to call him. So that, I think Wisconsin's interesting. Ohio State's really the only one. I mean, they still lost players to the draft, of course. They had 10 guys go. But, you know, Justin Fields coming back is huge for them. Sean Wade, if he comes back, that's also huge for them. But otherwise, I mean, it seems like they'd stack up just fine against everyone except for maybe Ohio State, which might just be a leg up on everybody. Wolverine Devotee at Wolverine Devote 1. So not the MGO blog fame Wolverine Devotee, but is there sleeper new guy flying under the radar that you think will get a ton of minutes, not just freshmen, but anyone that could be filling in that didn't see playing time last year? I know I already kind of answered this. Anthony Solomon and Julius Welshoff would probably be, and Sammy Fossum would kind of be my guys. If I was to pick which one is going to see the most time, I would probably go with Boston. So I'll elucidate on that a little bit more. Double Z at Double Z 28. This is where we get a couple of the same question. What is the plan for the cornerbacks, which I did already answer? Any chance Ambry comes back? That guy at DTate 13353206. Can the players who declare a pro come back when the season resumes? Steve Blacklaw at Blacklaw Steve. Can the players that have opted out for the NFL, Mayfield and Thomas, return to the team? They can. They just have to apply. And this was from Tom Van Haren at ESPN. They just have to apply for reinstatement. I'm sure, again, with the mitigating circumstances, it would be really hard for the NCAA to keep some of these guys out, given the hardline stance the Big Ten took. So I think that answers it. Jamara at Jamara23732, who will be the starting quarterback for Michigan. Be safe and blessed. Thank you. I appreciate that. Joe Milton is the starting quarterback for Michigan. He is QB1. John Trigero at JetGOP. How many Michigan Wolverines will opt out? I don't know that anyone else will other than the three. Obviously, there's still Quiddy Pay still on the table. I believe he'll play, but I don't know for certain. I believe the same for guys like Aiden and Carlo. I can't imagine anyone else is going to. Would it surprise me if anyone else did? No, but I think that everyone else will play. Trevor McHugh at Go Blue McHugh. With Nico opting out, who become the leaders of the wide receiver group? Is it Ronnie just getting more production? Does Cornelius fill Nico's shoes? Do we see more of the speedsters like Jackson? Or are the freshmen Henning/Wilson asked to step up? I think it's hard to ask Henning and Wilson to step up so early in their careers, but they'll have that full extra month of acclimation, month and a half, really, considering they would have started on September 5th instead of October 24th. So I think you can potentially get them in, but they haven't played any college football yet, so it's hard to say that. I think Cornelius is the closest to being a guy that can fill Nico's shoes. But I would really say, it's going to be Ronnie, Giles. We're talking to Giles this afternoon. Ronnie, Giles Jackson, Mike Sainer still. Again, don't sleep on Nate Shanley. We'll see what he is able to do. But I don't think it's great. Cause, I think Nico's first-round talent type. But at the same time, I don't know. I think that they have a lot. The position group is thin, according to Gattis. They want a lot more guys that can contribute, but they have plenty of guys that can contribute, put it that way. This guy should have been up earlier, and my apologies to him. Jordan Eggleston at JW Eggleston 7. Given Dylan is opting out and potentially transferring, what are you hearing about Cade and his position at QB2? I'm not hearing anything because I haven't talked to anybody, so I don't know. Like I said, the conversations I've had with people close to the program have been more on the recruiting front than they have been about how guys are doing. Because to me, it doesn't mean as much when they weren't preparing for a game. Now it's going to mean something. So that's why, if you want to know why. Nerdface at Dadlook, who are our top four wide receivers and how do you think they'll do? We already kind of covered that. I think it's going to be Ronnie Bell, Giles Jackson, Cornelius Johnson, Mike Sainer still. I think they'll do fine, but we'll see. I think it's on Milton to produce just as much as them. Also, who takes Jalen Mayfield's spot at left tackle? I think you mean right tackle. And how do you think he'll fare? At right tackle right now, it looks like, based off of Ryan Hayes' comments, Carson Barnhart would be the guy. And I think, they've loved him, early. So I think that he'll be plenty fine. Gets that opportunity. Ray at STEM Stew. Why do Michigan fans seem so upset that Joe Milton seems to have won the starting QB position? I don't know. One of the things I was talking to my roommate about this morning, I just think that not everyone's been out there like me saying Milton's the guy to beat. I think there's plenty of people that they see Dylan come in to replace Shea and they think that he's the heir apparent when, in my eyes, it was going to be Joe Milton. So we've just been kind of, I think it's just people don't realize. Plus, he won the starting job. That's what I don't understand. I've seen that there are people that I am on the verge of kicking off of my Instagram account that are normally level-headed Michigan fans that were complaining that Joe Milton was going to be the starting quarterback. You can read into it whatever you want. I'm not going to make any other statements there. Marky at Marky Mark Parker. He says, if McCaffrey transfers, which looks like he is, but at the same time, not in the portal, potential landing spots. Man, I have zero idea as far as something like that is concerned. I mean, he could end up at Northern Colorado playing for his dad, Ed McCaffrey, who's the head coach there. He could end up, I'm sure there are plenty of Power 5 programs that will try to bring him in as well. I don't really know who's going to be looking for a quarterback for next year, because he's got to sit out this year now if he transfers, but it would be for next year. Not sure who's trying to get their 2021 guy. So, couldn't tell you, but I guess it was worth the try anyway. That's going to do it for us today. We will be back tomorrow. We have a huge special guest tomorrow. I've already done the interview with him. We're going to be talking to Xavier Worthy, Michigan 2021. Wow, I can't say anything. Michigan 2021 wide receiver commit out of Fresno, California. So look forward to that. He will be on the show tomorrow. Very excited to have that. Appreciate you listening. As always, that's going to do it for us tonight. Peace.